Sports Analytics Podcast. Today is Friday, March 12th. We are closing out the half week of NBA action with a nice 8-game slate on Super Draft. Starting at 8 p.m., so got the late start on Super Draft, but really across the industry. A game with, you know, very few kind of high scoring game environments. We have only one game, that's the Philadelphia Washington game, with a total above 230. And as I see it now, three games with totals either at or below 220 implied totals. That is Miami at Chicago, Orlando at San Antonio, and Indiana at Los Angeles Lakers. And then a whole bunch of games in kind of the 220s as far as implied total. We mentioned that Philadelphia-Washington game, as it is the high total on the slate, also figures to be the one of the more up-tempo games on the slate. Washington has been playing at a breakneck speed over the past month, averaging over 103.5 possessions for 48 minutes. I mean, that is super fast. In Philadelphia, also playing up tempo, averaging more than 102.5 possessions per 48 minutes as well. They are the two highest paces on the slate going head to head. That game figures to be a pretty good one to target. Houston, Utah is a pretty up tempo matchup. Both those teams like to play pretty fast. And we just got a number of teams with kind of average, give or take, paces on the slate. So as you look into the slate here, and it's not even 1 o'clock Eastern, so there's still a lot of injury news to potentially come out that could change kind of the shape of the slate. Is there anything you are keeping your eye on with regards to maybe pivotal injuries or just games that as of now are really popping to you as likely places to go for your roster construction?
I would probably, again, focus on the Philadelphia-Washington game because, I mean, if Embiid does play, and it doesn't look like it was a major injury, you know, just more like health protocols, and the fact that Philadelphia played last night, so he's probably the only well-rested guy on that lineup, and no Simmons. And also look what Jonas did against Memphis. Sorry, Jonas V of Memphis did against Washington the first day back from the NBA All-Star break. I mean, he just went bonkers against him. And if you didn't have him, you didn't really hit the cash line. So I really, really like Embiid a lot. I mean, he's someone who could absolutely break the slate. I believe his multiplier is 1.1, which is okay. And he does qualify as a forward. So if you do want to go for another center, like Vucevic is another one I'm kind of looking at, given that Orlando's pretty much a bare bones roster with, we have, I believe, several guys are doubtful, like Cole Anthony, Evan Fournier, Terrence Ross is not questionable. And the Spurs don't really quite have much of a front court. Pretty much, you know, they're losing DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge. So I would say that would be another one I want to look at too, is Vucevic. But if I can get Embiid and Vucevic, which again is really nice in Super Draft because Embiid does qualify. And then, of course, without Beal, that just means monster usage for Russell Westbrook. So yeah, and given the pace, I'm with you on that one, Stuart. That looks like a great game to target, and you know, it'll probably come with high ownership, but I wouldn't want to fade those two guys, Westbrook and Embiid.
Yeah, it seems kind of like the perfect storm of just the best game on the slate from a total and pace standpoint, and then also two star players on each side. Embiid, you know, with Simmons known to be out, Beal I'm seeing currently is questionable. So if he doesn't play, just a ton of injury-induced value could open up on, you know, what as is already looking like the best game on the slate. And yeah, I mean, Embiid is going to be super popular, but he does feel kind of unfadable. I mean, his numbers when Simmons doesn't play are, you know, massive. I mean, in games that Simmons has been out this year, he's averaged over 21 field goal attempts per game, a usage north of 41% compared to his full game set, so games in which, you know, Simmons does play, you know, and be down to only just below 18 field goal attempts per game, usage a tick below 34%. So, I mean, just gets really big usage spikes when Simmons is out, up-tempo matchup, just seems like a potentially unfadeable spot for Embiid. And especially since he has that dual position eligibility, I would expect him to be very popular, but it does feel like a really tough spot to get away from him, kind of regardless of ownership. We like Embiid a lot in our projections, and Westbrook, as you mentioned, I think a really strong play if Beal plays, and of course just an awesome play if Beal sits, just given the nature of that game, kind of the pace that both those teams are going to be expected to play at.
And the beauty about Super Draft is that if you do want Beal, Westbrook, Embiid, all star players, have at it. I mean, that's a great thing about you know, playing on that platform, which you know, been using for the last few weeks. It's because, yeah, it would be hard to pull that off on DraftKings. Would be impossible. FanDuel would be really tough. So, yeah, I would even consider Beal. Another one too that's interesting to look at is Houston, given that, you know, it's you know, I think they have an infirmary in Houston with all the guys who are out. I mean, I'm looking at the list here on RotoWire, and I'm counting at least nine guys who are either out or game time decisions, with Wall being doubtful and Oladipo truly questionable. I mean, we'll see. If Houston even has enough guys to put on the court, but if they do, I mean, there's definitely some good value. Kevin Porter being one that I'm really keeping a close eye on, especially if you need a little bit of differentiation, high multiplier. He probably will be popular, but I don't think as popular as Embiid or Westbrook. So I think that might be someone, but I do worry about the blowout risk, given that they are playing the best team in the NBA on the road. And Houston was just in Sacramento last night with a late game and then flying, you know, a couple hours and a time zone change. So, I mean, 17-point dog is interesting. So that's another one I'll be keeping a close eye on tonight.
Yeah. In that game, and, you know, we can – so just wrapping up center, aside from Embiid and, you know, Vucevic, we – I think are pretty regularly pretty high on, especially when some of the Orlando backcourt is injured. Are there any other centers that you are particularly interested in? You don't have to prevent yourself from a second center with Embiid because he's got that dual forward eligibility. Are there other centers outside of kind of that duo, which I would expect to be the two most popular centers? Jokic usually gets a lot of ownership on Superdraft, but his multiplier is now down to 1x when it's been up at 1.05 or 1.1. So I could see him losing some ownership on account of that multiplier reduction, and just more intriguing options at slightly higher multipliers than him. Are there any other centers that are in play for you, potentially like true centers that don't have the forward eligibility that by rostering, or when people roster Vucevic, you know, will inherently be off of?
Yeah, I mean, I do. Yeah, Jokic was one I was looking at, but I agree with you. With only multiplier of one, and also going against a pretty decent center in Jonas V. I'm not going to attempt to pronounce his last name. But Jared Allen is one is interesting. He is a pure center, 1.35x. New Orleans oddly got destroyed by Minnesota, which I'm really, really shocked to see. I mean, of course, you know, if you were following that game, New Orleans was up by, I think, like 16 points in the first period, then just didn't stand a chance. So that's just interesting that, you know, they played last night, whereas Cleveland, this is their first game, true first game back after the All-Star break. They're one of the handful of teams that hasn't played yet. So I think Jared Allen, sometimes he comes in at low ownership, and he'd be kind of a fun one to look at. I mean, again, I do like Vucevic, you know, I think Jared Allen could be someone who of course, they are expecting several guys back, like Kevin Love and whatnot. I also my projections like Sabonis. He is going against the Lakers, but that's someone who could be interesting too. Also, I believe their first game back from the All-Star break. Personally, I sometimes like the late night hammers. So if you do have Sabonis and has a great game, and he comes in at, what is his multiplier? 1.25, and he also qualifies for a forward too. So I know we'll talk about forwards in just a sec, but so that could be kind of fun, if you really want to put, two big men like Sabonis and Embiid instead of centers from the forward, and then find just be somewhat contrarian and let's go Jared Allen. I think that's one I like a lot. After that, there's Jonas V, there's Miles Turner, Jacob Poeltl. There's Rudy Gobert, but again, I worry about the blowout risk. And I mean, Gobert at 1.3, Jared Allen 1.35. I'd rather go with Jared Allen in that case. That could be someone who could put you over the top.
Yeah, that's a good call out with Utah blowout risk. We have pretty high projections on both Mitchell and Gobert. With there being some blowout risk, there is significant downside, even though the median projection is solid on both those guys. In that same game, I think one guy that could at the forward position potentially benefit from a non-competitive game is Kenyon Martin. We saw him get 32 minutes last night on for a depleted Rockets team. And, I don't think this team has gotten any healthier since. And, if Wall is out and we know Gordon is going to be out, PJ Tucker is now no longer active with the team, and, number of forwards, swingman type players like House and Nwaba are out. This team is just really, really thin at the front court and swingman roles. Could see Kenyon Martin as kind of being the first guy or one of the first guys off the bench for Houston. As touched on, that's a pretty good game environment, all things considered, just independent of the players involved. Both teams play pretty fast. You do maybe wonder if the absence of John Wall might slow down Houston a bit. Houston has been playing pretty up-tempo with him. Not exactly sure what their pace was last night without Wall, but, could be something to consider. But, Houston's just super thin, and Kenyon Martin is at the multiplication ceiling of two. Mm-hmm. I think would, be likely to get minutes in the high 20s, low 30s, just given how thin Houston is. I think he could be kind of a deeper play. We saw Butler have a big game last night in the absence of Bam, and with Bam out again tonight, figures to be another pretty good spot for Butler. 1.2x isn't the most favorable multiplier on him, but we saw him get it done last night at 1.2x. I think a guy you could consider at kind of the low end of the multiplication spectrum at forward. Any other guys? You mentioned Sabonis, we touched on Embiid. Any other guys at the forward position that you have your eye on tonight?
I was a little disappointed in Zach LaVine last night. He's a nice one who qualifies as a forward in case if you want to go guard heavy. And it is a back-to-back, so that's another concern. And I believe Chicago are they hosting or they're
I think they're at home against
they're at home. Yeah, they're hosting Miami. So it's a close spread. Not a high point total. But that is somebody that could garner some interest and probably won't be a terribly high ownership. Butler, I agree with. I do like him a lot. 1.2. There is Shake Milton. He does qualify as a forward at 1.8x. Of course, that's a back-to-back as well. Not really too many. I think I'm probably going to go for the ones that qualify as both center and forward. I'm really digging the fact that if I could have Embiid and Sabonis, and then maybe put like a Kenny Martin at 2x, and if Kenny Martin does somehow pop off for like, you know, a raw score of like 40 to 50, and then you're getting close to 100 super draft points, that would be lovely. Again, and the things that even if it's a blowout, I mean, who's Houston gonna put out there? I mean, they have to play basketball for 48 minutes. So I agree, there's a super thin, and so you are going to see high minutes for pretty much every player. I mean, it's pretty much, it looks like an 8-man rotation. They don't run that many players themselves, but this just happens. Their 8 men are really, really good.
Yeah. You know, and it is one of the higher total games on the slate. There's kind of this Philly Washington game that's a cut above, and then Houston implied, you know, total, not sorry, not the team implied total, but just game total is, you know, really in the same tier as like this Denver Memphis game or Cleveland New Orleans. So I would expect points to get scored there. My fear with LaVine is just that Miami plays super slow. And while a guy like Butler, who is on Miami, might kind of have that team pace baked into his price a little bit, you know, I'm not so sure that players that oppose Miami are having that pace like baked into their multiplier. I think LaVine has been kind of comfortably at that, 1.35 multiplier for a while now. And 1.25 multiplier. Right. You know, and so I am a bit concerned about just how slow Miami can play. We have over the last 30 days their net pace. So the pace that they play at relative to their opponent's prior pace or average pace coming into the game at -3.23. So they're effectively slowing their opponents by more than three possessions per game. And, you know, I don't know. It's like, it sounds trivial, you know, three fewer possessions. But, you know, I don't think it's insignificant in a guy like LaVine that is so, you know, ball dominant. I think, you know, each possession is pretty high value for him. And the idea of that Chicago team losing possessions, you know, significant amount of possessions, I think could curb some of the, optimism around him. So I think that's something that I probably will be keeping in mind. And he's projecting moderately well, but not super strong. And I do wonder if that opposing pace might be kind of hampering his projection a little bit.
I mean, looking at going back to Houston, Utah. I mean, you know, there's also lots of high multiplier guys like Bojan Bogdanovic, Joe Ingles, Royce O'Neal, and again, you know, Utah really runs really just 7 or 8 guys. And if it's if it is a blowout, well, yeah, I mean, if Utah scores 120 points, still someone has to get that production.
Yeah, sure.
And so, you know, those are really high multiplier guys. I'm looking at Bojan Bogdanovic. I mean, his last game on March 1st against New Orleans had 53.75 raw points, and then multiply that by 1.6. That's pretty incredible. But of course, he's extremely consistent too. You know, he could also just have an absolute dud and miss a bunch of field goals or not be used much. So it's risky. But I think maybe that is, you know, you think to go contrarian in that sense that people might be afraid to go with Utah given the blowout risks. And maybe it stays kind of close for at least the first two and a half periods before it gets out of hand. So that could be, you know, something that could be worthwhile to consider.
Yeah. One guy I could see just racking up a bunch of garbage time fantasy production is Clarkson. Like, super draft, it's rarely sensible to play non-starters. Just the kind of high end, like upper limit of multiplier isn't really high enough right now that really warrants, like, you know, playing non-starters. But I will say, like, Clarkson is a guy who he can be kind of hot and cold, but when he just gets in the zone and like is just taking every shot his team is taking while he's on the floor. And, you know, I could see routes to Utah just getting up big early and just running like Clarkson
and hand the keys to him.
Yeah, exactly. Just like letting him do the entire fourth quarter by himself. And, you know,
sure.
We haven't projected quite favorably on a 26 minute projection, you know, which I think is like a fine median number for him. But, you know, I do think there are routes to him getting elevated minutes if Utah is just able to, you know, put Houston in the rearview mirror early. And I will say Clarkson feels like one of those guys who, you know, has pretty high value minutes, like, because he just takes so many shots and, you know, is a pretty capable scorer. I think he would be kind of an interesting kind of contrarian tournament play.
And Houston, since last season, they just don't do well. The bench or the second unit for Houston just does not defend well against the other opposition second unit top scorer. If you do kind of do the eye test and look at game logs, you'll see that, you know, whoever is usually the top bench scorer that plays against Houston does well. And I can't think of a better six man in the NBA right now than Jordan Clarkson, and someone who also typically gets the second most field goal attempts. I mean, of course, there's Donovan Mitchell, but I just don't think his multiplier is really worth it. And especially if you're playing other formats like FanDuel, DraftKings, he is expensive. Probably come at low ownership anyway, given people the blowout risk. But, you know, I'm with you on Clarkson on that one.
Yeah. So moving kind of, well, we've already moved on to the guard position. You know, are there any other guys that are popping for you? We touched on Westbrook. He's currently at the top of our projection post multiplier. Just below him, DeJounte Murray
has just
been kind of sitting at that 1.4x, and you know, he's just got a super consistent role, plays pretty high efficiency minutes. Like, he has some games where just every minute that he plays is super valuable. And, you know, San Antonio continues to be hampered to some extent by injury. You know, DeRozan being out, you could see paths to Murray, you know, and even like Lonnie Walker to a lesser extent, just taking over the game for that starting unit. I guess the real concern there is that the total on this game is quite low. 214 and a half is what I'm currently seeing. And that is actually the low total on the slate. San Antonio is kind of the slower of these two teams. So maybe, you know, a slight pace up spot for them relative to their kind of historical like levels, but not in a huge way. I mean, not like Orlando's playing super fast. They're maybe just a little above average and pacing teams up just a little bit. But yeah, I mean, the usage would figure to be there with DeRozan out for Murray. The minutes would figure to be there. Just like not a super smash game environment, but just as far as you know, the players available and kind of how that team is constructed right now, I think sensible to have him towards the top of you know, your player pool. Any other guards popping for you?
I love Colin Sexton. Absolutely love him tonight. He's actually ranked fifth in my model projection at 1.55x. Yes, they are getting some guys back, but you know, these guys haven't played in a long time, like Larry Nance, Kevin Love. Yeah, and so also New Orleans tends to not do well against the other team's top scorer. Like, if you kind of look at, like, again, do the eye test, look at game logs and look at opposite, you know, opposing teams who play New Orleans, guys who have like the highest field goal attempts for that team. You know, if Sexton puts, you know, which he probably will have 20 to 24 field goal attempts, which is not unheard of. And if he's hitting 50, 60% of them, and most of them are threes and also get to the charity stripe, I think that would be a really, really nice one to have. Especially look at what Anthony Edwards did last night, the worst team in the NBA. So I'm liking Sexton. I'm going to, in every platform, he's going to be on my lineups for sure.
Gotcha. Yeah. And, you know, Garland is questionable. So I think we only have a one game sample on Sexton without Garland. And it was one of these games where they were, they had Sexton on like a minutes limit. So I'm not really sure there's much to glean from there. Although it's noteworthy that he took 14 field goals in like 19 minutes or something crazy like that. So, you know, I think, you know, I think a reasonable spot to consider Sexton, especially if Garland's going to be out.
Yeah, I mean, Oladipo is another one too. Just given that Houston doesn't really have anybody else to play, and if he does play, I mean, that's what's saying we have to really pay careful attention to the injury reports tonight. But you know, if the game does get out of hand, and you know, given that he is questionable, I mean, would Houston really want to try him out there? And of course, we talked about Kevin Porter earlier, so I think that would be another one I probably would consider. But yeah, I think Westbrook is a high-end guard. You know, when you know, if you're looking for kind of a balanced approach, he's at 1.2x, which is actually really nice. I'm actually a little surprised it's not lower. You could go both Beal and Westbrook if Beal's healthy, and then throw Sexton in there. But if you are looking for a little more upside, I mean, Porter's, I think, a good one to consider.
Yeah, I'm looking actually back through the Sexton data. So we had it, all those numbers were halved because there was one game in which Sexton was like available to play but didn't play. So just probably not actually available, but was, you know, on the bench and dressed. So there's only one game in which he kind of dressed and play, and it was this double OT game against Brooklyn in which he, you know, played, I think, up over 40 minutes. Sorry, he played 38 minutes. And in those 38 minutes, I think took like high 20s field goal attempts. Yeah, 29 field goal attempts in 38 minutes for a usage rate just below 40. So if Garland is out, yeah, that could be a really awesome.
And you have a
spot.
Well-rested team against a team that played last night and got blown out by the worst team in the NBA. So another one that looks interesting is Dennis Schroeder of the Lakers. You know, with AD's, Anthony Davis is still out. You know, as usual, LA likes to play this probable, you know, game with like, okay, they have four guys who are probable, three of whom are starters. But, you know, Schroeder does get great usage. He is a bit hit or miss sometimes. Playing Indiana, you know, pretty good, decent teams, slower pace. So it's, that one's a little tricky, I think. And you'll probably get Schroeder at very low ownership. Again, the West Coast games sometimes don't get much attention. I just don't know if Schroeder's really, I don't know. It's a tricky one. But Sexton is one I'm really, really excited about tonight.
Got it. Well, yeah, should be a fun slate. You know, eight games. It's kind of more manageable than last night, but more expansive than the Wednesday night resumption of play. So, yeah, we will continue to stay posted with projections for some of these injuries that we'll figure to be cleared up as we approach lock. Some stuff we might not get till after lock, like Oladipo, Terrence Ross for Orlando. But we will continue to monitor that stuff. And yeah, we hope everyone has a good Friday of play, good weekend. Encourage you guys to check out contests on Superdraft. Very fun scoring system and lots of tournament overlay. So feel free to check that out. We have projections specifically for Superdraft scoring on advancedsportsanalytics.com under the NBA tab. Encourage you guys to check those out if you are playing on Superdraft. And we will be back next week with more NBA preparation and some more golf stuff. So we will chat with you guys then.